Our scripture passage this morning is Psalm 146. You can turn in your Bibles or on your Bible app. It'll also be on the screen behind me when we get to the reading. There's TV shows and movies where they have these characters that'll do a trust fall. You know, I think in the corporate world, they do the trust fall as a team-building exercise. But in the movies, there's always that opportunity to add a bit of humor to it. And so just as the person is about to fall back, the person that's supposed to catch them either gets distracted or they're mean and they just let the guy fall to the ground, right? And so, you know, you learn the lesson that you have to trust the person that is behind you or you'll hit the ground, basically. And today we're looking at a passage where we discover the person that is worthy of our trust, the only person that is fully worthy of our trust. So let's look now at Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So tomorrow is a big day as far as elections go, right? So, you know, if you haven't already voted, you've got your ballot and you're ready to go to the polls. But when we're thinking about voting, when we're thinking about issues that kind of are on our minds during this time, we have to start thinking about who we trust. In verses 3 and 4, it says, put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. So on both sides of the aisle, they're asking you to trust in their vision for the future of our country. Right? Each party has policies. They have plans. And one of those sides is going to win out, right? Depending on what side of the fence you're on, you might not be happy with the decisions that are made that day. For some of us, I'm not speaking necessarily for myself, but for some people in the room, neither option is a palatable option. So we have to ask the question, who do we trust? Where is our hope? Right? And what this scripture passage is telling us is we don't put our hopes in human beings, in princes, in presidents, in kings, in legislators, in governors. That's not where our full trust should be. Our trust and hope belongs in no other place than in God and God alone. In God, the God that saves. In verse 6, it says, God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Who is more powerful than the maker of all things? No one. There is not one person that walks the face of the earth at this moment that is more powerful than our God. And this passage points us to the fact that we should not trust in those that are mortal. We should trust in the immortal, the God of heaven, the maker of all things. Should we trust in a political party? No. Should we trust in a person? No. It says in verses 7 through 10, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that a candidate can offer up to us. There's nothing that a piece of legislation can offer up to us that can save us from the powers that we need to be saved from, which are sin and death. This is as political as I will get from the pulpit, right? God calls us to study his word. God calls us to be informed about what's going on in the world. And then I would say, once you have studied God's word, you pray for his will to be done. You seek his leading on your life, and then you vote accordingly. You go to the polls and you vote as you feel led, as you feel God is leading you. There's no ideology or policy which is wicked that will stand the test of time. It says it in this passage. The way of the wicked he brings to ruin. There's going to be a day when we are restored, right? What is our problem in this life? Well, it is sin, our sin nature. When Adam sinned in the garden and he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he broke God's command. And because of that, everything is messed up. Everything. There is not a person in this world that is sinless. We are all sinful. My wife told me that she was in a class at North Florida. And while she was there, she wrote a paper, and it was on systems of government. And one of the statements that she made in that paper, which kind of made the professor take note, was that one of the reasons that the systems of government in this world fail is because of sin. It is. No matter how well-intentioned the form of government might be, because it is run by sinful man, it can't always work to the way that we would like it to work. And so when we have a sin problem, when we know that the systems of this world are created by man and will fail, we need to rely on God and his will for our lives, for our nation, for his people. I still believe we live in the greatest country in the world, right? We have been blessed with much. God has given us much. But we have to remember that salvation comes from the hand of God alone. Salvation comes through Christ alone. And faith in him is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. What has God done on our behalf to bring us salvation? He did something amazing. Something we did not deserve. He brought life to us by sending his son to walk this planet, right? He was tempted in every way that we are, but he was able to overcome. He was sinless. And so when he went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice, that his shed blood was applied to all those who placed their faith in him. And that brings salvation from sin and death. And then he went even further. He raised his son from the dead, proving to us that eternal life is real. And eternal life with God in glory is for all those who have faith in him. And so we know that though the systems of this world may fail, though men here are sinful, one day we will live in a restored kingdom with Christ as king. The whole world will be restored. There will be no sin. There will be no death. There will be no sickness. There will be no corruption. There will be no wickedness. when Christ returns and establishes his kingdom eternally. The things that we struggle with in this life will cease to exist. And God will make it whole again. God's plan is at work. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." I have a friend, and he blogged at the last election in 2016, and these are his words. His name is Scott Castleman. His blog, by the way, is called Soul Bacon, which I would recommend. It's a good read. But he says, "One of my former mentors used to say to me, every organization is perfectly designed to get the results that it gets. We produce what we value. Let us have no doubt that we will elect the system or officials we deserve. And the ones we elect will, by God's permissive will, take office and rule exactly the way that is warranted. As surely as a tree is made known by its fruit, a nation will be exposed by its politics. As Christians, as God's redeemed children, as citizens of God's glorious and eternal kingdom, we will do well to remember these things. Whatever path America walks down, God's kingdom is steadfast because his rule is certain. Christ has not relinquished the throne or the scepter given him by the Father. As the church, it is our privilege and responsibility to seek the welfare of our nation and to consider the welfare of all nations, but we mustn't conflate our country's trajectory with God's kingdom purposes. Whoever your candidate or party, even as you vote, do not put your trust in them. Whoever wins will win by God's sovereign allowance for God's ultimate purposes. If we suffer under poor leadership, let us take heart that God is chastising us that we might repent. Church, our citizenship, our mission, and our great hope will not be affected in the slightest of ways when the election results come in. That's what I know. We have to understand that there is no one that has ever ruled, ever been elected, or taken power that wasn't allowed by the sovereign choice of God. He is in control. Christ is on the throne. Think about different times in the history of God's church or his people where God allowed someone to rule that wasn't perfect, right? God's people were delivered into slavery in Egypt, and he had Pharaoh have authority over them. Right? And God would harden and soften Pharaoh's heart to demonstrate his power, not just to his people, but to the entire world. God, through the hardening and softening of Pharaoh's heart, demonstrated that he can do whatever he wants. And eventually, what happened? His people fled Egypt with the wealth of Egypt. They took it with them. You know, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened one more time to go after them and bring them back into slavery. And look what God did. He drowned his soldiers in the Red Sea after his people had walked through on dry land. God put people in charge of his people over time too. His people cried out for an earthly king. They had seen these other kingdoms and kings, and they said, "We want something like that." And so God said, "Okay, you know, if you don't rely on me as king, I'll give you a king." And he gave them Saul. And Saul was a flawed man, and then he kind of went awry. And what did he do? He anointed David to be king. And what did David do? Well, he murdered and committed adultery, right? That eventually led us to Solomon. And Solomon married many wives and then allowed the culture around them to bleed into their culture. And then after that, what happened? The kingdom was split in two. They were carried off into exile. And why did God allow that to happen? Well, look at Daniel. He allowed that to happen so that he could point his people back to him. Daniel lived faithfully in exile, and God blessed that. And Daniel stands as an example that if you are faithful to God, God will bless you. God is calling us to be faithful to him and to him alone. Time and time again, men failed. And then God used foreign powers to carry his people off into exile and then restored his people to their rightful place. He allowed Israel to come back to Israel and build the kingdom. And they messed up again and again and again and again and again, you know. But then he sent his final person, his final Messiah. Because Adam sinned, the world was broken. But God from the very beginning said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it right. And then he came to the time when Jesus came. And that was the final fix for what was wrong. And Jesus delivered us. He brought salvation from the enemies that we might not see physically in front of us, which is sin and death. Jesus conquered those things for us. There is a decision coming. Regardless of the decision that is made, we're going to get our feathers ruffled. Some of us will. We have to remember that we are first members of God's kingdom and then citizens of a great nation. Seek God's will in all that we do. Rest in that knowledge that Jesus is on the throne, that God's kingdom has been established. He is always pointing us to him. In God we trust. Nothing of this world is more valuable than trusting God and his plan for salvation. Verse 5, this is the closing. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen.